Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is our live Prophecy Reality Weekly Edition. It's Wednesday morning, the studio cam is on, and the chat room is loaded, as in ready for you to enjoy and engage the program. Good to see a few people in the chat room this morning. Thank you for showing up. Okay, well, today we have news and headlines, and in the second hour, I think I'm going to try to focus more on the New World Order, exposing it, because they that are working behind the scenes are happy to work behind the scenes. They learned their lessons very well back more than, well, has it been more? Yeah, a little more than 200 years ago when the 1260-year reign of the Antichrist, that overt reign in Western Europe, came crashing down on them, and that head was wounded. It's called a deadly wound, but it has recovered. So we need to talk about that a little more clearly and directly. So I think I'm going to start doing that in my second hour, which means I have to find something or put something together for the second hour. And so if you have any resources on that, be sure to share them with me. Email them to First Amendment Radio or my website at nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. There's a contact page there. Or you can text me during the broadcast if you're using our Mobi app. And also, if you got a notice in your mailbox this morning letting you know that there was a program, there's a text link there that's accessible from your smartphone. Yeah. Or you can go to firstamendmentradio.net/Mobi, and you'll find the link there if you check out a few of the different tabs there. Okay. Well, let's start out with the Babylon Bee and see what they have for us. Yes, one of the greatest newspapers there is, the Babylon Bee. No, not really a newspaper, but a satire site. And satire is news, especially in the days we live in. Okay, to save time, Treasury Secretary Yellen, she works for the Jesuits. She works for the Antichrist. She is part of the Antichrist banking cabal. And if you don't believe me, well, read the end of chapter 13 of the Revelation, and you'll find there at the very end it talks about when you see, about what occurs in the first part of the chapter, what the result of it is at the end of that chapter. See, and the what occurs is this this cabal, this association of the beast with 10 horns, with the two-horned earth beast, and the image that's created, and the final result on that chapter is that everyone will be required to have a mark or to capitulate in some way to the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell using the Antichrist monetary system. And that's the kind of control that we have to be looking for today that is present. While all those people over there at Rapture Ready, they don't have to worry about it because they believe they're going to be raptured out before the Antichrist is even known. And that is how deluded they are, or should I say, how well the shadow government has done their job in brainwashing these people into thinking that the Antichrist has not even shown up yet. Yeah, that's it. So to save time, Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen gives Zelensky the key to the U.S. Treasury, because that's where your treasurer is going. And for the government, where their treasurer is, that's where their heart is also. And you know that Joe Biden and his compadres in the government and around the world have been working all since, well, probably since before 2014, because it took a while to get that coup going, and they overtook the government of Ukraine in 2014, installed a puppet, this guy here, this actor, And he really is an actor. Actually, he did his audition. He played the role for several years on a sitcom. He played the president of Ukraine for several years on a TV show. Yeah. I mean, can it be more obvious? But now he is really the president of the Ukraine, and they are destroying that country while they continue the grift of robbing the American people by sending every dollar that you're making, and they're not satisfied with that. They have to steal the money out of your pocket while it's sitting in your wallet or bank account by inflation. Yeah, by inflation. They're stealing your money to send it over to this actor in Ukraine because he's doing a very good job. When you are an actor and you're hired to play a role, you follow the script. And if you follow the script, you get to keep the part. And so we know that Zelensky is following the script right to the letter. Yeah. As you can see, he's being rewarded again and again and again and again. At the end of the job, when the acting part, when the part is over and the scene changes, well, I guess he'll be safe in one of his many homes, perhaps in Florida. I believe he has an estate in Florida. Yeah, imagine that. Why would he need an estate in Florida? Well, he needs a place to go when the greatest role of his lifetime is over. So there you have it. Thank you for that, Babylon Bee. Let's see, what else do we got here from the Babylon Bee? I'll skip that one. Let's see. Privacy wins. Texas legalizes shooting Google Maps car on site. Yeah, we only wish, right? I hope nobody takes this seriously and goes out and starts shooting Google Maps cars. But I've seen them over here. Yes. The picture of the ranch here is on Google Maps. Don't go looking for it. You got to have an address first. Okay. Fauci jealous as China getting all the credit for COVID, for creating COVID. Yeah, well, I don't think Fauci is really jealous, but because he is getting all the money. Well, not all of it, but a good share of it. I mean, more than any one person needs in their lifetime, especially when you're exceeding 80 years old and your life is almost over as it is. I mean, how long? I mean, even if he didn't take the jab, which I'm sure he didn't. I mean, he knows about it. He had his hand in creating it. Of course he wouldn't take the jab any more than I would. Yeah. And boy, I pegged it right when March 2020, when they were bragging about the mRNA jab, how it was going to create the spike protein, turn you into a vaccine manufacturing plant, every person into a vaccine manufacturing plant, programming your very DNA to penetrate your cells, to program them to create the spike protein. That way, your body could mount a defense to the spike protein, the COVID. Yes, the COVID boogeyman. And the first thing I thought was, is there an off switch? Nobody's talking about an off switch. Your body just starts creating this protein and never stops. Is that what happens? And I thought, nah, that doesn't sound like a good idea to me. That was in 2020, my first thought at hearing their plan on turning every person into a vaccine manufacturing plant. Yeah, how do you feel, all you vaccine manufacturing plants out there? Yeah, well, a lot of them aren't very happy and now realize that they have been duped by the government that they trusted that lied to them. All right. I'm going to skip that one. It's not even funny. Let's see. California fleeing on such a sunny day. Well, it's a rainy day. It just rained 1 inch overnight here in California. Are they fleeing? Yeah. Beach Boys parody. And I guess you could go to Babylon Bee and watch that if you're so inclined. to hear a Beach Boys parody of a California, fleeing. And, well, as you all know, that the government over here floating above the land is the state of California. Yeah, a dead thing. That's why it's in all caps. All the states are dead things. They're fictions, in other words. They're not alive. All right, Hunter Biden heads into Georgia forest in search of cocaine bear. Okay, I'm not sure. I guess you have to be a cocaine something or other addict to know what a cocaine bear is. Is that kind of like a stock market bear? Yeah, I have no idea what that means. Okay, well, here we are in Southern California, covered in 6 feet of global warming. And yes, we have been having a lot of rain. And the snow has been, we got 6 feet just probably over the last couple days up in the high mountain areas. I'm looking at flooding in the spring, when all of the reservoirs are not going to be able to handle. So yes, I'm a prophet. I'm predicting flooding in California. No, you don't even need to be a prophet to predict, flooding problems in California. Because that water now that's up there in the snowpack, you know, I mean, we've had, well, by now over 20 inches, probably near 25 inches of rain in California, which is unheard of, practically speaking. I don't know what kind of record that is, but it's a kind of a record, for 1 year. Now, if we had that much rain over, say, over the last 4 years, I could have grown hay in my field every year, but the last 2 years, there was not even enough rain to grow hay. Yeah. It got up to maybe 6 inches and then withered away and died. And then the animals ate it anyway. So at least I got my money out of the seed. But this year's going to be different. Yeah. Once that warm weather hits, which is coming on since we are in March. So we can have a few more frosty nights during this month, as is usual. It's very rare that we get frosty nights here in the valley and the foothills where I'm at in April. But yeah, definitely in March we do get some frosty nights, and are getting frosty nights right now. And that's why there's snow in some places in California where there usually isn't snow, but none where I'm at. I'm in the big southern valley down here. It's called the San Joaquin Valley in the foothills. So the valley's right over there. And the reason I live above Old Stagecoach Road is because the valley used to flood. People used to be able to take a boat from Sacramento to Bakersfield in season. So you could float all the way down the middle of the great Tule Basin or Tule Lake and, in a boat. So, but Stagecoach Road, which I'm on the high side of, is where the stagecoach used to run, and it used to run there because that didn't flood. And they wanted a road that would always be open. And you know what that means, that eventually someday, that whole valley down there where most of the people live in this part of California will be flooded. I don't know when that's going to happen, but things seem to go back to a natural order at some time or another. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, they have plenty of reservoirs and dams along in the foothills of California here, but the snow load and the melt, the runoff from the snow melt is going to be, well, we could just say fantastic this year. So there's your news on the Southern California covered in 6 feet of global warming. Speaking of global warming, it's now climate change. Yeah, wake up, Babylon Bee. What's wrong with you? And I guess that's all we have from Babylon Bee this morning. Let's see. I guess everything is going well as far as the picture and the sound and everything. Nobody's complaining yet. Oh yeah, I got a 5x5 from Dale. Thank you for that, Dale. Okay, let's see what else we got here. We got to have something else here. Well, I think it's time to start talking about abolishing the IRS. What do you think? And I also have here another, a bill to, this bill is to There it is. Bill to introduced to ban Fed from issuing CBDCs. And I think these are very important things that we need to continue resistance on, because I am not going to, I'll never get a Fed account ever. I can't even get a bank account in my own name because of the Fed, because of the Fed's monopoly on banking in the U.S. You know, they have a monopoly on banking. There are a few, I guess, they probably in even, what do they call them? The savings and loan industry, because they had saving and loan. They're like banks, savings and loans, where people would save their money and that savings and loan would loan out the money. But that's probably even taken over by, I mean, if you go in there, it's all the same thing. To get a bank, to get a savings and loan account, you still have to participate in the numbering system. So there's no way, see, there's no free banking in America, because I can't go down to the bank and put my money in the bank unless I'm participate in socialism, which is another shadow government operation of the Antichrist to get everyone numbered, of course, and to take over health and welfare, right, from the American people. They took those away from the churches and religious organizations. So there are still good religious organizations out there that spread the gospel while they help people. So we don't have an excuse not to give and work under God's economy just because the Antichrist and his shadow government have moved health and welfare off to not a charity, but a confiscatory scheme where they redistribute your wealth, your labor, in other words, because that's what they're really robbing you of, is your labor and your life, not just your money, because most people don't have any money at all. Yeah. Got any silver or gold out there? Anything that you could consider real money? Or is it just digits off somewhere in a computer? Yeah. And those digits belong to not you. You may have an ownership interest in them, but the bank even has a ownership interest higher than yours in the money in your own bank account, because they can bail in. There's not going to be any more bailouts, people, like there was back in 2008 from the federal government, which is really a bail-in anyway, because who do you think paid for that? They just bail in to the taxpayers and the people of the United States, whether they're taxpayers or not, by inflation. But now the banks, there will be no more bailouts, but they are allowed to bail in to your bank account and whatever you have in it, whatever digits you have in it. I mean, there's nothing there, but they're still going to steal it from you if the occasion arises for them. Now, with CBDC and everyone having a direct account with the Fed, then they will just ban you completely through social credit scoring. And you see, they've been practicing this for many years. We saw it blatantly done to the Canadian truckers when that time came Justin Castro up there in the United and in Canada. Yeah. So CBDCs, just say no. That's all I can say. Just say no. Use as much cash as possible. Go out of your way, please, to use cash. It's like, it can remind you of the days when you could hold your own money in your own hand. You'll never hold those digits unless you're holding them on your stupid phone and you think you're holding them. You can't hold those digits. So if you can't hold something in your own hands, that old saying that possession is 9/10 of the law has no place with digital money. Because where's your possession? Yeah. It's on someone else's account. And they can already take everything out of your account. After all, they do have a monopoly on the banking system, whether it's a savings and loan or a bank. Yeah, they control them all now. It's always been the Antichrist plan. And it's always been Satan's plan, because even going, transgenerational, Satan has always been transgenerational, looking toward the end, or perhaps he doesn't even know when it is. I don't know how much Satan knows. He knows perhaps as much as we know. He has the Word of God. I'm not sure he believes it or really understands it. And I'm not sure he can, because if he could have understood it, although it was pretty fairly much veiled, the plan for Christ laying down his life for our sins, it had to be veiled for Satan to be deceived and actually put Christ to death, because if he had known, he would not have done it. Yeah, he would not have done it. He would not have gone along with the scheme. He would have pulled back all his operatives in the world, you know, those people that do the bidding of Satan. Yeah, there are plenty of them out there. He would have pulled them all back and kept them from doing it if he could have, if he had known. But he did not know. Yeah. So the bill introduced the ban the Fed from issuing CBDCs. I'm glad to see this happening on the federal level. And this pushback needs to be exemplified and reproduced, and we need to never stop. So all you voters out there, make sure that you get a hold of whoever you voted for, or whoever you didn't vote for that got the place from the voting agreement that you made. Because when you vote, your agreement is that whoever wins the election is okay with you, because you participated in the system. It's an agreement, people. Anyway, here comes our first break, and we're going to jump into more headlines, news, and commentary when we get back from these messages. So please do not go anywhere. I'll be right back.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. Okay, about this this bill introduced the CBDC Anti-Surveillance State Act to halt efforts of unelected bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. from stripping Americans of their right to financial privacy. Well, we've already had, or I should say Americans, for the most part, have already been stripped of their financial privacy from the banking cabal. Because they, and especially speaking of this other article that we're going to talk about the IRS, well, they have the power to look at your bank account anytime they want, without even a court order, to turn off your bank account, to take money out of your bank account. Even the state of California has that power, because I've had it happen to a bank account that I had once. Because one of the trustees on that account, yeah, owed the state child support. And so they took every single penny out of the account. It was thousands of dollars. And I believe his debt to the state of California, which he did not notify me of, or we would not have listed him, he was like $80,000. Yeah. That's the way that works. So they will steal your money at a whim. You have no financial privacy in the banking system, period, at all, none. And it will be even worse because now with CBDC and everyone having a direct, then it will be, I mean, this is the play, really, when you read the last few verses of chapter 13 of the Revelation, that everyone will be required to have a mark in order to buy or sell. That's it. And if you're not good, if your social credit score, if you say something on, post something on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or True Social or anywhere where you have a profile, a public profile of yourself, then they will ban you, take your money away, shut you off. And that's it. You will be fired from your job, whatever. It doesn't matter. They will have absolute total control. So you may want to get rid of your personal profile or use a pseudonym if you're going to have a profile on, or not have a bank account in the same name or something. Yeah. So privacy pretty much gone already, but they want to further that power with the CBDC so that you cannot even have cash. And they've been trying to get to run this thing without cash. And so far, wherever they try it, it's not working very well. So we must continue to resist. And like I said, use all the cash you can. Anytime the cashier says, would you like some cash back? You say, definitely. And get some cash back and spend cash instead. See how it feels to hold at least fake money in your hand. Anything in your hand. That's right. So, House Majority Whip Tom Emmer, Republican, Minnesota, I guess, on Wednesday introduced legislation to prevent the Federal Reserve from issuing central bank digital currency, which he and others say could surveil Americans' financial activity. Well, it's like I said, it's way beyond that. They're already surveilling Americans' financial activity through the power that they have with the banks already. But this will take everything away and force everyone to participate or be excluded totally if there is no cash. And people have come up with ideas that how they're going to do this. They're going to require you, give you 1 year or 6 months to turn in all your cash. And if you come in later, if it's after 6 months, they're going to give you another 6 months with a discount on your cash. You know, maybe it'll be worth 50% or value after 1 year and then go to nothing after 2 or 3 years, something like that. And if you find cash after that or you couldn't find it or whatever, I'm sure you can apply to have your cash accredited digitally to your account after that. And you have to give them a reason why you didn't turn it in like a good little soldier or a good little slave right away. So this is kind of the plans they would like to run on us. But I'm hoping and praying that Americans can resist until Christ comes. And we are much better off than Sodom and Gomorrah. In Sodom and Gomorrah, they could not find 10 righteous. You know, all they found was one, perhaps. And what a mess that family was, though. So compromised by being where they were. Yeah, that was Lot and his family. His wife turned to a pillar of salt because she had to look back. Yeah, she had to look back. And that's kind of... It's not rapture ready. They weren't raptured out. I'm sorry. They had to flee. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And, it was pretty dismal for them. Yes. So, that's that. Okay, well, let's talk about, it's time to start talking about abolishing the IRS. The Internal Revenue Service is a system beyond repair. It's time to seriously consider scrapping the agency, the article here says, and this from Steve Dewey, who is on the Free Thought Project. Yes, such free thinking should not be allowed, yeah, at least according to the New World Order. Going back, see, a Gallup poll taken more than 25 years ago found that 69% of Americans held the opinion that the IRS frequently abused its powers. Frequently, yeah, probably. Well, every day, that's frequent. It's like the drip of a dripping faucet. It's frequent. Means it doesn't stop, it doesn't take a rest, it doesn't take a break, it just keeps frequently doing it. Yes. And so what's the frequency, as they would say? Another Gallup poll was taken on the American public's job performance rating of 11 federal agencies. The poll ranked the IRS dead last, with only 34% of Americans regarding the job performance of the IRS as excellent good. Well, that's 34% said they're doing excellent, good job. Yeah, those are all the ones that are collecting welfare. Good job, stealing from my neighbor to give money to me. Yes, I guess you would think if that was your object, to get free stuff from other people's labor, you would rate them as excellent, good. Anyway, another poll released by the Pew Research Center, March 2015, on the complexity of the tax system indicated that 72% of American public were at least somewhat bothered by the complexity. Those are the people that actually have to fill out the forms, I guess. And 44% were a lot bothered by it. Yeah. So that's more than 100%. How did they do that? Maybe they're counting illegal aliens. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure the way it's worded makes up for that. 44% were a lot bothered. I guess of the 72, 44% were a lot bothered by it. Public concern over the complexity of the federal tax code is certainly understandable when you consider the body of law that codifies all federal tax laws, Internal Revenue Code, U.S. Code Title 26, comprised 6,979 pages as of year end 2022. Yes, indeed. And see, when you sign that form, you agree to every single page of it, as it applies or does not apply to you. Yeah, it doesn't matter. And just because you didn't know something means that they can come after you. And I'm sure you did something wrong with 6,979 pages of code that you have to comply with on your tax form. Aside from the American public's unfavorable view of the tax system, there's a real economic reason for addressing its complexity. The enormous costs of compliance for American taxpayer, both individual and corporate. The Tax Foundation issued a report in August 2022 estimating that Americans would spend over 6.5 billion hours complying with IRS tax filing and reporting requirements in 2022. This equates to approximately 3.1 million full-time workers focused entirely on federal tax compliance. Wow. That's a lot. A lot of full-time workers, 3.1 million. That's like 1% of the population of the United States is working full-time on tax compliance. Let's see. The Tax Foundation estimates the monetary cost of compliance based on its estimated 6.5 billion work hours would at a minimum amount to $313 billion in 2022 dollars, that is, nearly 25 times greater than the IRS's $12.6 billion 2022 budget, with a workforce of approximately 80,000 employees. And it goes on, and you get the kind of the idea. They have a taxpayer advocate service. Yes. The 16th Amendment, a brief history. Yeah, should we believe it? The law that never was. You might want to look it up. Somebody should publish this book and let America read it for free. The Law That Never Was. But I know you can buy copies of this book. It was a book probably published in the 90s or late 80s sometime. Back when the whole Patriot movement started in the U.S. Yes, I am that old. I was here. I was beginning in radio about the middle of the 90s. Yeah, that's where I got my start in radio. The 16th Amendment. Despite a national history of predominantly void of income taxes for more than a century, the experience of an income tax being put into actual practice from 1862 through 1872, and again briefly in 1894, caused the American public and its legislative representatives to at least become accustomed to the idea of a federal income tax. But more importantly, the narrow Supreme Court decision in Pollock versus Farmers Loan and Trust Company energized a growing populist and progressive political movement in the United States to push for a graduated federal income tax. In the late 1890s and early 1900s, it sounds like they're trying to make this a grassroots movement. Oh yeah, the people. I don't think so. Any progressive political movement, and that is one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. After all, yeah, a graduated income tax. So you can see populist. It says growing populist. I don't think so. I think someone like Trump might be populist, but I don't think tax us all as populist. And progressive political movement, that's definitely what it was. Progressive political movement means Marxist, Antichrist, shadow government, Jesuit. So anything that will gain more control over each individual, totalitarian, in other words. Yes, we know where it's coming from, because we know who wants total control and wants everyone numbered and marked and even control over every penny that you spend. That way, instead of buying beef, you will buy bugs or lab-grown meat. That's how much control they want. If you buy too much of something they consider unhealthy. Yeah. So here, have some mRNA lab-grown meat, or cancer cells grown in a lab. Yum. Yes, that's what lab-grown meat. It's cancer cells, because that's what you call it when your cells start growing out of control. Well, they're trying to master that in a lab. So anything called lab-grown meat, don't go, oh, yummy, I got to try that. Just think cancer, tumor. It's a tumor steak. How do you like that? Yes. Cancerous tumor steak. So anyway, there's some history here. This article is from the Free Thought Project. Let's see, did they really say anything? A radical transformation. The language adopted in the 16th Amendment reads, and they go through all of that. Tells you it goes from the words direct taxes were replaced with taxes on income. There shall be no direct taxes. It doesn't say there shall be no taxes on incomes from whatever source is derived. That's what it says in the Income Tax Act, but it never repealed or replaced anything in the Constitution, because I think that would be a misnomer. Yeah, because if you cross out direct taxes, it says there shall be no direct taxes in the Constitution. That means that the federal government can't tax individuals directly. That's what it means. And that's why the states had to pay a head tax to the federal government to support the federal government. You know, it was a certain amount for each person, each head. And if you had two heads, you had to pay twice as much. That's all. So, yeah. And so if they said there shall be no direct taxes, it wasn't replaced with there shall be no taxes on incomes. So the taxes on incomes cannot be direct taxes. That's all it means, because one did not repeal the other. If you're going to repeal something in the Constitution, I think you actually have to repeal it and cross it out. But they never crossed it out. They never repealed it. So I'm not buying this line here, the words direct taxes were replaced with taxes on income. Because that would even be better, I guess, because it would have said there shall be no taxes on incomes from whatever source derived. That would have been great. I'd love that. It would have been like making no difference at all. But the whole idea was that there would never be an inquisition from the federal government on the individual. And I don't believe that has ever been repealed, even though they're intimating here that it has been. I believe they are in error. The words shall be apportioned among the several states were replaced with without apportionment among the several states. So, yeah. And like I said, same application there. They didn't really replace the words or cross them out of the original section of the Constitution replace those words, because the income tax cannot be a tax, cannot be a direct tax. That's all it means, is the income tax cannot be a direct tax. So if it's taxes on incomes, it would have been on income not from labor, but from business. But see, now they pushed everyone into being a business. Because that's what you're agreeing to when you sign the forms. Yeah. And they've made you a business by numbering your business and numbering you as a business and creating a fiction, your name in all caps. See, this is their legal way of doing it. And it, when you accede to it, you're agreeing with them and you're agreeing to do prison time for the fiction, because they will throw you in jail for any errors that the fiction does. After all, you are pretty much the CEO of the corporation that they create in a name similar to yours, but a fictional name, all caps. Anyway, that gets into a lot of details of how the legalese works and how they think about it and what the actual state of things are, although they're not going to tell you that you're agreeing to a fiction and you're agreeing to do jail time for the fiction for your wrongdoing as the CEO or officer of the fiction that they created, because their direct taxes is still in there. There shall be no direct taxes. The change from direct taxes to taxes on incomes from whatever source derived opened the door to unlimited taxing authority by Congress, this article says. As a consequence, the 16th Amendment radically transformed the United States from a nation founded on personal liberty and property rights to a nation governed by a central power restricted far less by the Constitution, as became apparent very quickly in the years following the adoption of the 16th Amendment. Less than 8 months after the amendment was ratified, Congress passed a new income tax bill that was signed into law by President Woodrow Wilson, traitor to America, in October 3rd, 1913, the Revenue Act of 1913. The new law imposed 7 graduated income tax brackets ranging from a bottom 1% rate on $20,000 income. Yeah, see, that's where I would fall today. And, you know, that would, see, if everybody's going, that's fine. Yeah, but if they could do that, which he did at a whim, well, they can do anything at a whim, and we've watched them do everything at a whim since then. But continue reading here. From a 1% rate on a $20,000 income to a top rate of 7% on incomes above $500,000. 3 years later, in 1916, the number of tax brackets increased from 7 to 14, and the top rate from 7% to 15%. By 1918, during the height of the United States' involvement in World War I, the number of tax brackets had increased to 56, with a top rate of 77%. Boy, wouldn't you hate to have that tax bracket? Yeah, but they made ways for people with that much money to squeeze out. They just hire a high priced. I mean, if you're making, $100 million or $500 million a year, certainly you can afford a tax attorney who's going to, save you a lot of money from your 77% tax bracket to pay himself very well and save you even more than he's getting paid, and everybody's happy, and you followed the law, right? So anyway, after the war ended, the federal tax code was a little changed from 1919 to 1921. The 56 tax brackets remained, and the top tax rate only lowered from 77% to 73%. It is astounding how aggressively and quickly Congress used its newfound powers of taxation, enacting dramatic change on American lives through the 16th Amendment in such a short period of time. The subsequent decades leading to the present, the income tax brackets have gyrated up and down, with both the bottom and top income tax rates hitting their all-time highs of 23% and 94%, respectively, in 1944 and 45 during the final 2 years of World War II. At present, for the tax filing year of 2022, the bottom and top income tax rates are 10% and 37%. So you don't feel so bad now, do you? Yeah. When the new federal tax code was implemented with the revenue tax of 1913, it comprised 27 pages and introduced Form 1040 for taxpayers to report income. The original 1040 comprised only 4 pages, including 1 page for instructions, so really 3 pages. The same form was used again in 1914, 15, 16, and in 16, 1040 was revised and gradually increased in complexity in subsequent years. In 1939, the federal tax laws enacted after adoption of the 16th Amendment were compiled and codified into a new United States legal code, Title 26. This code was amended in 54 and again in 86. As mentioned above, the Internal Revenue Code has since expanded to massive proportions, now comprising the 6,979 pages that it at present. Yes, so there have been failed attempts to repair the labyrinth. Reagan tried, he failed. And it goes on and gone. So here we are. We're going to have another attempt, hopefully. But I'm not that hopeful. Anyway, here comes another break. It's the end of the hour, so I'll be back after the news. So please stick around, go get a cup of coffee, whatever you need, and come on back.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. I guess a few program notes before we jump in this hour. I've been running my Audible, the Horae Apocalypticae Volume 1 during the week. Haven't been getting any feedback from it. I don't know if it's just too much for people or if anyone's enjoying it or not. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I will persist. but it is nice to take a break once a week and come on the air here and join you all there. Say, Dale, Engel Chen, Jesuit Fiend, Stephanie, Dale, Almeida, Tom W., Fireman Mike in the chat room. Good to see you. Thank you all for showing up. Anyway, I've been playing this Horae Apocalypticae the rest of the week, so it's there. The second week is playing now, and see, last week is being overwritten with this week's broadcast in the podcast. So I was thinking maybe I should have some kind of access for people that support. So if you're a supporter to First Amendment Radio and you would like access to the entire Horae Apocalypticae Volume 1 series, please let me know. And I'd like to give special access to a lot of things for people that support First Amendment Radio. Support has been dropping off as of this year. I don't think I've really gained any new supporters this year at all. And we're already going into the third month, but I have lost supporters as of the first month of this year. So I would like to pay my daughter a real salary, you know, even if it's not very much, say $1,000 a month or something, might give her a little more, make her feel better about being over here and working every day. Yeah, if I could actually, she's 22 years old, so she should have something. But I can't give her what I don't have. But she has everything she needs, and I give her everything she asks for. Fortunately, she doesn't ask for more than I can give. Yeah. Okay, that's that. Let's see what else I have in the mailbox here before we move on. Let's see. Actor tells truth, media goes berserk. Well, that's happening now and then, and you can watch that go on. RATO and NATO, not sure what that means. Nuclear Armageddon, games include in the Ukraine. You know, that's like Game of Thrones, but we have nuclear Armageddon games in Ukraine to see what will happen. And you're hearing just about every idea there is out there. The nukes aren't going to work. Nobody's been keeping them up. They just fired the whole command for the Western United States and the nuclear site command and replaced the whole top tier of administrators in the nuclear bases for some reason. And nobody's saying anything about that or why it happened. No explanations are forthcoming. A lot of weird stuff going on. And people are going, well, those are the ones that the balloon flew over. Yeah. Yeah, they were. Maybe they didn't cover things up fast enough or something. Who knows? Or maybe it's worse than that. We don't even really want to talk about it. And it's better that we don't know. You know, it's always better to know the truth if you can handle it. But I'm afraid people who don't love the truth can't handle the truth. You must love the truth to be able to handle it. So when they say, you can't handle the truth, well, that must mean you're not a lover of truth. Because everyone who loves Christ Jesus is a lover of the truth. And no matter what the truth is, yeah, we want to hear it. And because we know who is the ultimate truth. After all, he did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's see, unmasking prejudice. Yes, critical race theory is prejudice. All of this, shaming of white people or people that are ashamed of being white, they're prejudice against themselves. Come on, stop it. Yeah. Okay, what else we got here? Subprime auto lender and used car retailer collapses as distress cycle finally arrives. What? as distress cycle finally arrives. That headline doesn't make much sense to me, and I'm not going to look at it. Just because if they can't write a headline so it makes sense, I guess I probably don't want to read the article, right? History shows it's impossible to put inflation genie back into the bottle. Well, yeah. Especially if they're having, you know, if the people that have been given a monopoly on the banking system and the money powers in the United States and practically the whole world, if they want inflation, it's a genie they don't want to put into the back into the bottle. They love it. Yeah. So whoever would think that would be mistaken if they think they don't want inflation, or they want to put the inflation genie back into the bottle. Yeah, they would be sadly mistaken. Would vitamin D have saved half of COVID deaths? Well, we can say yes. Likely it would have, but people believe lies. And it all comes back down to loving the truth. If you don't love the truth, you know, the one who personifies the truth, then you really don't love the truth. Okay, let's see. What else we got here? Oh, already did that one. Oh, yeah. Go back to the derailment. Ooh, Candace Owens. The derailment of Candace Owens. Someone's calling it a derailment because has pushed her disagreements with Donald Trump to the point of insult. Wow. So the godlike Donald Trump is falling in the eyes of many on the right. I guess that's what we're trying to say. What this article is saying is even Candace Owens is not putting up with Donald Trump stuff anymore. Says, lately I've been lost in thought, lamenting the diminishing presence of black women in Donald Trump's America First movement. In doing so, it's impossible to think about the movement without the pop culture-laden Candace Owens rearing up in our thoughts. She was formerly commanding presence in A Black Woman in Support of Donald Trump, but I will be frank and reveal that Candace Owens lost me very early in my Trump journey. So what he's saying is that he's looking at the color of a person, and you know, I don't think Candace Owens gives a damn about what color she is. I think she probably may care more about the truth, and that's why the Donald Trump bubble is being burst in her life, and she's one of the people now that are bursting it. So, and this coming from American Thinker, and they are very, very pro-Trump. Almost, you know, make Trump great again. Not MAGA, but make, well, that's not, you couldn't even say MT, make Trump great again. That's how bad it is in some of these places, but they still have some good articles. But to hear them lament because someone's black, this is racist. They're saying, you're black, you were for Trump, now we're losing you. No, maybe she's just for the truth. At least I hope so. I haven't looked into this article. But it's likely if she's a lover of the truth, which I believe she is, although she's young and she's, naive enough to associate with some of the people that she's associated with. Yeah. Anyway, not going to say anything more about that. So let's see what else we got here. Peculiar case of George Santos exhibits the media double standard. Well, it's also a double standard in the Republican Party, because usually if it was a Democrat, they'd hold the person to the fire, but they're not. And if it was Democrat, then are they saying that the media would have ignored it? But they're not. So there's double standards on both sides, I would think. A year later, Ukraine still matters. Well, what do we have to say about Ukraine that you don't already know? Yes, World War III on the brink, and the American people are paying for it, whether they like it or not. There. Okay, let's see what else I got. Any more tabs here? Oh, the Asbury revival is over. What happens now? Was there a revival? I hear things on both sides that, you know, likely, you know, if the word of God was spoken, then God could work through his word. If it was not spoken, then I'm sure there's a lot of shills and liberal so-called Christians there pawning off a false Jesus on the world. It goes on everywhere, but it's over. So what happens now? Yeah, that's something I guess we could talk about if we were going to get into the era that we're in, the missionary era of the last two centuries. I believe that's, well, there's still missionaries, but there was a great missionary movement in the 19th and 20th centuries. And I believe that's depicted in the scripture clearly. But at the same time, loosed about the same time that that era began, that 200-year era began and ran on, you had the three frog-like spirits that were let loose into the world at the same time. And that has been growing to a crescendo, which we are hearing now. That's why you're hearing all of these things, and the evil just seems to be nonstop, overflowing and bubbling over, and it just will not shut up or quit, and it's just becoming overwhelming. Well, that's the crescendo of that three frog spirit movement that was released about the same time, about the beginning of the beginning of the 19th century, about the same time that the Antichrist was hit with his, as it were, a deadly head wound. These three frog-like spirits were released about the same time. So a lot happened about the same time in prophetic history. That's what we're learning as we go through prophecy and history together. So the crescendo is getting louder and louder and will continue to get louder, so that the earth will be filled with violence as it was in the days of Noah. The earth was so filled with violence, and it's getting to that way that everywhere it was safe in the world is now becoming unsafe. And of course, the agents that are doing this for their master, Satan, are fulfilling the prophecy that God is not surprised, neither is he worried about what he is doing in the world, because his object, his purposes will be fulfilled through it all. And all of these things are necessary to fulfill his purpose. But what does that mean? That we lay down and give up? No, it means that we continue to fight the good fight. We continue to resist to the very end. Like I said, I'm hoping that we can fight off the mark of the beast in America until Christ comes, while other parts of the world are already capitulated to it. I mean, for instance, China. Now, there's no freedom there at all. There's no freedom of money. There's nothing. Seems to be in Canada, too. They already have the power up there to shut off your bank accounts. There's limited power in America to do that, because they're doing it all the time, only for tax purposes. And they shut off, there are corporations that do it for the Antichrist, because shareholders or stakeholders, that's what they call them, stakeholders in the Antichrist New World Order are going to do the bidding of the Antichrist and his shadow government in this New World Order, because they are stakeholders. And so PayPal might cut off your bank, or your bank might unbank you and send you a check, or not, just like they did to BitChute, just keep the money. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, you know, you can put in a complaint, and it's going to take us years to get to it, BitChute, the video company. But they're doing well. They're still up and running. Did not shut them down totally, just unbanked them and kept their money. And of course, they're British, so they were dealing with a British bank. But not much difference. Still the same banksters that work for the Antichrist behind the scenes. Yes. The Vatican bankers. So, all that from the Asbury revival, huh? Who would pay for the SBC's abuse reforms over the long known Stephen Curtis Chapman's first contemporary Christian artist to earn 50th number one song? Well, That's, I don't listen to pop Christian music anymore. Yeah. So there's some good music out there that I still like. Some Christian classics from the era, but there's always Christian classics that pop up in every era. But there's the great classics of all time, so, too, which I love. Especially, well, one of my favorite was written more than 500 years ago by Martin Luther. Yeah, still singing it. You hear the music on here frequently. A mighty fortress is our God. Okay, well, let's see. Have we got any more tabs here? Nope, I think that's it. Okay, let's take a look at the shadow government. I haven't found an article here I wanted to share. And this is it here. Yes, indeed. And this is the Society of Jesus, or the Jesuits, with their sun worship logo, operate in the highest echelons of the Jesuit Illuminati, or rather, their leaders do. It is the Jesuit leadership that controls the Knights of Malta, the Knights Templar, Knights of Columbus in the USA. I mean, the list goes on and on. Washington, D.C., every library where there's men dressed up as women entertaining little children sexually. The Jesuit leadership, yes. And it works closely with another secret order of the Roman Church, Opus Dei, which was created by the Jesuits. The alleged rivalry between the two is a diversion created so they could control two sides of an issue. The Society of Jesus was the creation of Ignatius Loyola, who was born in the castle of Loyola in the Basque province in Spain on Christmas Eve. He was in 1491. He and a group of associates founded the Jesuit order in 1537, and it was given papal approval in 1540. So, officially, 1540, the Jesuit order was established. From there, it expanded its influence until it reached its present status as one of the most important and powerful secret societies on Earth, to which all of the other secret societies are loyal and report to, or even run in the shadows of those by. Loyola became the first Jesuit Superior General, also known as the Father General. He sent his agents far and wide to set up schools, colleges, and seminaries. All Protestant seminaries have been infiltrated by the Jesuits. This is true. That's why you have futurism, the story of an end-time Antichrist, instead of, you know, as I've been going through prophecy here in history, realizing that all, that one of the foundations, there were two foundations of the Protestant Reformation. The first one was of Christ the Savior. The second pillar of the Protestant Reformation was Antichrist. The discovery of Antichrist. The man seated in the papacy. That's right. In the midst of the church. The man of sin. The Antichrist. Those were the two. And the protest against him. Those were the two. And that's where the name Protestant came from. It didn't come from the discovery of Christ the Savior, although he was the first, and he should be the first. But secondly, when those seven thunders were issued, those from the papal chair against Protestantism, they discovered who this man of sin, whoever sits in the seat of the papal chair is that man of sin for our generation or our time. Right now, that man is Pope Francis, Jorge Bergoglio. That's the guy. They finally got a Jesuit. Not that they could not have done it sooner, but hey, they wanted the whole show and they finally get it. And it's no surprise that the Jesuits get it right at the end as the three frog spirits begin to reach their crescendo, the very height of their croaking power. That's what they're doing. They croak very loudly, do they not? So all Protestant seminaries have been infiltrated, and colleges have been infiltrated by the Jesuits. It's interesting that theological colleges are called seminaries, and their students seminarians. The term comes from the Latin seminarium, or seedbed. Semiramis was known in similar terms as the mother or the seedbed of the gods. The word seminary is also used in reference to Jewish and Muslim religious centers of higher education, and by the Mormons too. The Jesuits now have some 25,000 members in 112 countries, and the worldwide structure consists of a region known as assistances, which are themselves made up of provinces. It is the usual top-down Russian doll system that allows leaders to keep the big agenda from the lower roads. The superior general has absolute authority and is again chosen for life or until he decides to resign. The Jesuit constitutions were written by Loyola and created a dictatorship that demanded absolute obedience to the Pope and superiors with the order. He said that the Jesuits should be well-disciplined like a corpse. Like a corpse? Loyola produced a book called Spiritual Exercises, Modern-Day Psychology, in 1548, and is still the heart of Jesuit education. It tells Jesuits to suspend their own judgment, and the 13th rule says it is a virtue to believe only what the Catholic Church tells them, even if it's not true. It's a virtue, people, even if it's not true. The example is given of seeing something that is absolutely white, but believing it is really black, if the Catholic hierarchy says it's so. And we're going to pick this up when we get on the other side of the break, so I'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross Border. This is Prophecy Reality. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there, or you may also find it at Amazon. I like F. Tupper Saucy's title for his book, Rulers of Evil, because that's what we're talking about, the rulers of evil, the shadow government that works for the Antichrist. It's all those people over at Rapture Ready that think they're going to be raptured out before the Antichrist is even revealed. Well, they're about 500 years late, aren't they? Yeah, because the Antichrist was outed and revealed absolutely and positively in the 16th century by the reformers. And it was taught everywhere. But people have forgotten because the Antichrist is very powerful and his shadow government never stopped working, even when the man of sin lost his seat and his overt control of Western Europe after 1260 years. His shadow government continued to work in the shadows, having learned the lesson. The same shadow government structure was employed by the Jesuit-educated Adam Weishaupt when the Bavarian Illuminati was officially launched on May 1, 1776, and by many other secret groupings. The Bavarian Illuminati is a strand in the bigger web, which also calls itself the Illuminati. Jesuit Illuminati, same organization. Weishaupt taught Roman Catholic canon law at the Jesuit University of Ingolstadt in Bavaria, Germany, which is the birthplace of many frontmen, including Henry Kissinger and the current Pope. Together with countries like Britain, France, Italy, and the United States are major Illuminati and Jesuit centers to this day. There are 28 Jesuit universities in the USA. It's a lot of people being educated by them, is it not? And they get to pick the cream of the crop. The themes of the Jesuit oath were adopted by Weishaupt, and as he and his conspirators set about causing mayhem in Europe and elsewhere to establish Illuminati, Jesuit Illuminati, yes, like I said, two of the same animal, that brought about the required change. French Revolution and American Revolution were both of their covert operations disguised as giving freedom to the people. And behind all these activities was the Jesuit leadership, Georgetown University. The only difference between the American and the French Revolution was the people of the day. France was not the same as America. America was what had just been, you know, founded and established on Protestant principles and religious liberty. So they used that to get their way and install a central government over the whole continent with the Constitution, with the present Constitution of the United States. That's how they used it and established it. Of course, we see something totally different that happened with the French Revolution, because at that time, the French were being punished for their treatment of God's people. God was judging France at that time, so any revolution there would be a total, like, opposite revolution. Yeah, and that's as it was, continuing here. The French Revolution and American Revolution were both of their covert operations disguised as giving freedom to the people, and behind all these activities was the Jesuit leadership, Georgetown University, 1789, and its associates, the Rothschilds. Rothschild was a real leader of the Bavarian Illuminati, and the Rothschilds and the Jesuits have long been connected. Of course, they're connected through the Vatican, because the Rothschilds are the Vatican bankers. They do the bidding of the Vatican. As a matter of fact, I think, who calls them the Rothschilds, the Red Shields? They are papal court Jews, according to someone I read or heard once. All roads lead to Rome, the article says. Rothschild, Weishaupt, the Jesuit leadership were dedicated to dividing and ruling the masses through conflict and war, exactly what is presently happening, by manipulating politics, finance, and religion, and getting people to fight each other while they were controlling and arming all sides, controlling both Democrat and Republican, Marxists and liberals, and because when you have all the money, you can use all that money to control what people do, especially in the public. Weishaupt, or Brother Spartacus with the Illuminati, infiltrated the Freemasons, especially Grand Orient Freemasonry. He once said, "The great strength of our order lies in its concealment. Let it never appear in any place in its own name." but always covered by another name. The only place they want to appear is, oh, they're just educators and teachers. And that's, you know, they build hospitals and help the poor and have missionaries. And that's their public face. Yes. And we could get into that, but I'm not going to do it right now. There's been a lot written on it. The great strength of our order lies in its concealment. Let it never appear in any place in its own name, but always covered by another name and another occupation. Layers of culpable deniability. They do not want to take credit for what may bring about what already happened in the past, when the very seed of the Antichrist was punished. That deadly head wound was inflicted, but it was healed. You can read that in the scripture yourself. It was not unto death. It was a deadly head wound, but sometimes deadly wounds heal, do they not? And this one did. And they are very fit today and completely healed. Not to their former position, but believe it or not, being hidden as they are, and hiding their power as they have learned to do, they are in a much stronger position. But at the same time, speaking of prophecy in the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation reveals that sometime between now and before Christ returns, that they will be outed and people will see them for what they're doing and who they really are, that they are the motivators and the main motivation behind everything that is wrong in the world today. And they are going to be blamed and punished and burned with fire and raised off the face of the earth. That's pretty much the intimation that I get from chapter 19 and the punishment of Mystery Babylon. The 10 horns of the beast are going to turn on her. That's more specifically what it says. Of course, the beast being Western Europe, and the 10 horns, the 10 divisions of Western Europe, and whatever nations occupy those 10 divisions today. And that's what the scripture tells us, that the 10 horns are 10 divisions. In the Jesuit extreme oath of induction, the blood oath ceremony, recorded in the journals of the 62nd Congress, third session of the USA, the real aims of the Society of Jesus are made crystal clear. Hey, this is American record here. Former Jesuit priests, including late Father Alberto Rivera, have confirmed the blood oath's existence. Malachi Martin, another former Jesuit priest, worked in the inner circles of the Vatican for more than 20 years and spoke 17 languages. In his final book before he died in 1999, he said there was an occult conspiracy in the Vatican and that satanic rituals were conducted within a secret church dedicated to Lucifer sun worship. And that's where they have the sun worship symbol on the Jesuit is part of their nomenclature. This is the true agenda behind the Jesuit operation, which controls the Vatican and the Pope. And we know from unwilling participants that exactly the same happens within the secret levels of the Mormon Church. The blood oath ceremony is conducted alongside an altar as the initiate or postulate stands between two monks. One is holding a banner with the papal colors of yellow and white. The other holds a black banner bearing a knife with a cross above the skull and crossbones. Oh yes, Malachi Martin, Lucifer sun worship. This is the true agenda behind the Jesuit operation, which controls the Vatican and the Pope. And we know from unwilling participants that exactly the same happens with this in the secret levels of the Mormon Church. And I already read that. So the papal colors of yellow and white, the other holds a black banner bearing a knife with a cross above the skull and crossbones. It also includes the letters INRI, which is said to mean Iustum Necker Regis Impius. It is just to exterminate or annihilate impious or heretical kings, governments, or rulers. The initiate kneels, and the superior gives him a black crucifix to hold against his heart and a dagger which he holds pointing to his heart. The superior confirms during the ceremony that the initiate has been taught to infiltrate and spy on behalf of the order. And this reminds me of, Bush, the last George Bush that was president, who looked and said that when he looked into the eyes of the Pope that he saw God, and that he went through a ritual like that. So they're in our government, people. The superior confirms during the ceremony that the initiate has been taught to infiltrate and spy on behalf of the order. My son, heretofore you have been taught to act the dissembler, among Roman Catholics to be a Roman Catholic, and to be a Roman Catholic, to be a spy even among your own brethren, to believe no man, to trust no man, and obtaining their confidence, to seek even to preach from their pulpits and to denounce with all vehemence in your nature our holy religion and the Pope, and even to descend so low as to become a Jew among Jews, that you might be enabled to gather together all information for the benefit of your order. You have been taught to plant insidiously the seeds of jealousy and hatred between communities, provinces, states that were at peace, and to incite them to deeds of blood, involving them in war with each other, and to create revolutions and civil wars in countries that were independent and prosperous, to take sides with the combatants, and to act secretly with your brother Jesuit, who might be engaged on the other side. You have been taught your duty as a spy, to gather all statistics, facts, and information in your power from every source, to integrate yourselves into the confidence of the family circle of Protestants and heretics of every class and character, as well as that of the merchant, the banker, the lawyer, amount to the schools and universities, in parliaments and legislatures, and the judiciaries and councils of state, and to be all things to all men. The initiate then pledges to wage war against the enemies of both the order and the Pope. I furthermore promise and declare that I will, when opportunity present, make and wage relentless war secretly or openly against all heretics, Protestants and liberals, as I am directed to do, to extirpate and exterminate them from off the face of the earth, and that I will spare neither age, sex, nor condition, and that I will hang, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women, and crush their infant heads against the walls in order to annihilate forever their execrable race. And so you wonder, I mean, a lot of people just cannot believe that there would be a diabolical plan to deceive people into taking a shot for their own good that is actually going to kill them, so that now we have an excess die-off rate in America of, I'm hearing, of about 2.5 million people per month, which is very much being hidden. Even though died suddenly was seen by how many tens of millions of people, it still has not made the news. It's still not, is not in the mainstream. They're still covering up while they at the same time just made the mRNA shot okay for your children, added it to the schedule of vaccines for children in public schools. The shot that's killed and is killing that many people. And that also reminds me of the DJL.com prognostication that we looked at so many years ago of the population of America dropping to, what, 90 million? Was that the prognostication? I can't forget. I've got a screenshot of it somewhere. But it was outrageous, going from 350 million to 90 million, or about 100 million anyway. But if we're losing 2.5 million a month, is it possible that by 2025 that we could be down somewhere to at least half of what we were by then? Well, it doesn't seem impossible now. I mean, I think they want. I'm hearing about a false flag, nuclear, false flag event that's being planned so that they can blame all the deaths on nuclear fallout from the COVID to obfuscate what's really going on. You know, for all of us conspiracy theorists who are alive and not dying from COVID, an explanation, even with people that took the jab, must be forthcoming. Either that or something to cover it up further. And it seems like they're opting for the cover. But when we talk about these people, we're talking about people who have all the money, who control the money of the world. So that's a lot of power. But we can't give up hope, because money isn't everything. And the power of God is greater than the power of money. The power of the Spirit is greater. I'll continue here. I furthermore promise and declare that I will, when opportunity present, make and wage relentless war, secretly or openly, against all heretics, Protestants, and liberals, as I am directed to do, to extirpate and exterminate them from off the face of the whole earth, and that I will spare neither age, sex, or condition, and that I will hang, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women, and crush their infants' heads against the walls in order to annihilate forever their execrable race. And they don't care if you're a liberal Catholic. And they say, it says Protestants and liberals. That's what they're talking about. Liberal Catholics. Because to them, they're as bad. Because if you have compunction for your neighbor's suffering, and you don't take into account that they're hateable and Protestants that deserve it, but you have a compunction as a real human being, you have a natural affection for your fellow man. Well, you might be a liberal Catholic. There you go. Continuing on, that when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poison cup, the poison needle, the strangulating cord, the steel of the poignard, or the leaden bullet, regardless of the honor, rank, dignity, or authority of the person or persons, whatever may be their condition in life, either public or private, as I at any time may be directed to do so by any agent of the Pope or superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Faith, the Society of Jesus. Remember, this is all in the public record, people. And it was put there, I forget when, but we could look it up later if we really care. The order's current head, or superior general, is a Spanish priest of the Roman Catholic Church, Adolfo Nicholas, also known by Jesuit watchers as the Black Pope. He is far more powerful than the White Pope and works closely in America with former New York Archbishop Edward Cardinal Egan and his replacement Archbishop Timothy Cardinal Dolan. The fundamental involvement of the Jesuit order in world-changing events, like the two global wars, have rarely been told. Often blame is handed only to a Jewish cabal, using the Jews as scapegoats, which certainly does exist as a Sumerian cabal in nexus around the Rothschilds and goes under the name Zionism, neoconservatism, and other labels. So Zionism, neoconservatism, the same thing. Basically. And these are all operations of the shadow government that works for the Antichrist. I know people like to become, you know, if you get into this Zionism or become anti-Zionist, you play right into their hands, because then they get to label you with one of their groups or organizations as an anti-Zionist or it goes on and on. This is an important tool of the Illuminati. But it is only part of the web that we should not let it hide the fundamental involvement of the Jesuit hierarchy and the Church of Babylon, Mystery Babylon, Lucifer's Sun Worship, now known as the RCC, the Roman Catholic Church. In truth, they are all different faces of the same organization. The shadow government work in many roles in parish and retreat ministry, in high schools and colleges, as lawyers, doctors, psychologists, and counselors, writers, authors, and journalists, theologians and philosophers, researchers and scientists, and in many places with many different people in cities, rural areas, in the missions of South America, Africa, and elsewhere. They are renowned in the world for excellence in education. Almost from the beginning, Jesuits were teaching at various universities in Europe. Currently, the Jesuits maintain 70 secondary and primary schools, 50 Jesuit high schools, and 28 universities in the United States. You could call them social engineers for the New World Order. And you wonder, what's gone wrong with American education? The public schools and the universities? There's your answer right there. They are social engineers for the New World Order. If you're going to control public opinion, you have to control education. Universities are a filtering device to handpick their candidates for key positions. And that's what they do. And that's why you have the people in government that you have today, all young global leaders. Universities are teaching more than just an education. It is a doctrination which comes with a diploma. And for this article, we would read the conclusion and summary, but we're running out of time. And I found this at Grand Design Exposed, and it's a good website. You can do a lot of reading, although nothing has been updated there in 3 years. There's still a lot of good material there. Anyway, you've been listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. I want to thank you all for showing up today. And please share this broadcast with someone after it's posted. Well, may the Almighty bless you and keep you.